ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Within hours of a violent stabbing in a church last night, senior government ministers and security officials would become involved, declaring today the incident to be terror-related. Bishop Mari Emanuel was attacked during a live-streamed service at an Assyrian Orthodox church in the western Sydney suburb of Wakeley last night. The 16-year-old alleged offender is in hospital under police guard. The Prime Minister today convened a meeting of the National Security Subcommittee with spy agency ASIO now involved. Its head, Mike Burgess, spoke earlier.
It does appear to be religiously motivated, but we continue our lines of investigation. At the same time, our job is also to look at individuals connected with the attacker to assure ourselves that there is no one else in the community with similar intent. At this stage, we have no indications of that.
In the aftermath of that attack, police say a crowd formed outside the church and became violent, injuring two police officers and damaging police cars. All this has happened just days after another deadly knife attack in Bondi Junction. Levi West is the Director of Terrorism Studies at Charles Sturt University. Welcome to you, Levi.
Hey. Hey, John.
New South Wales Police Commissioner Karen Webb has declared this to be a terror-related incident because the alleged person's apparent intent, she says. The head of ASIO, Mike Burgess, has also said it appears to be religiously motivated. What can you tell me about this designation of this incident as terrorism? What does it mean?
Right. So the key thing here is to recognise that for an incident to be considered or conceptualised as terrorism, generally speaking, what we're talking about in the broadest of senses is an ideological motivation. And that manifests in, you know, sort of the violence being a means rather than an end. So it's not just about inflicting violence on the person that's the target or the victim of the violence, but about the kind of communicative acts that go with that. So talking about the ideological motivations, the issues that are associated with it, and those sorts of things. Usually, especially for authorities to be as quick as they have to have made the designation, that would suggest that there is very strong evidence to support the proposition that the individual in question was ideologically motivated.
Declaring this incident a terror-related incident gives police more powers. They're quite broad powers, you have to say, including the ability to stop people, vehicles, search them, to search houses, to close off roads, to demand identification documents, all without a warrant. So are these powers really necessary, given ASIO says there's no indication of others in the community with a similar intent?
So Australia has an enormous variety and broad range of counterterrorism authorities, some of which have been, you know, variously highly controversial, at least with the people who pay attention to them. They are primarily, and this goes for counterterrorism legislation in most, at least liberal democratic jurisdictions, written as precautionary enterprises. So you can't know how every terrorist incident is going to actually manifest. And so having the kinds of authorities in place in advance so that you can activate them, so that if it does turn out that there is people connected to this incident, although that's unlikely, but if it does, then the kinds of authorities necessary to prevent those people from undertaking further acts already exist. You're not having to reconvene Parliament to pass emergency legislation in the breach of an incident.
And this measure lasts for 14 days, at least in New South Wales law?
I believe that's correct, yes.
Some in the local...
I think 7 days initially and then an easy extension of that.
Right. Some in the local Assyrian community have made the point that it should be treated as a hate crime because labelling it terrorism will only inflame further tensions. I'm curious about this idea. Is this a risk, you know, that the use of this term may increase fear and hostility within the community, which you would say is traditionally the intent when it comes to terror-related acts?
So terrorism is an inherently kind of controversial and subjective term in and of itself. And in the aftermath of the events of 9/11, became a really quite pejorative and almost synonymous term. And I think it's reasonable to say that Muslim minority communities in much of the Western world felt that terrorism became synonymous with talking about their communities. The difficulty with using sort of euphemisms or various other terms to describe things that are sort of self-evidently terrorism is that it's being somewhat disingenuous. So the delineation between a hate crime and terrorism is a little bit more than semantic, but not all that much. And what those sort of discussion points about, you know, whether we should call it terrorism or violent extremism or a hate crime, sort of tends to get lost. What it tends to do is push attention away from the actual incident that occurred, which is the thing that's the problem, right? The issue that causes division is not the terminology that's used to describe the act. It is the act itself that is problematic, and vastly more problematic than the use of term A, B or C to refer to the act.
If you've just joined me on RN Drive, it's 13 past four. Levi West is the Director of Terrorism Studies at Charles Sturt University. We're discussing the recent stabbing of two people at an Assyrian Orthodox church in Sydney. This 16-year-old accused of the attack was known to police. He wasn't on a terror watch list. He is alleged, and it has been reported, to have spoken in Arabic in a video being circulated. What more can we glean off this 16-year-old's background to sort of connect the dots with why the police have enacted these terror powers?
So I think the key thing here is, and I think we watched some really affirming behaviour by the media and by politicians on Sunday afternoon as the events in Bondi unfolded, which is to really the speculating in these kinds of circumstances as to, you know, what the identity and motivation beyond terrorism in its general sense of the perpetrator here without any evidence is really a counterproductive exercise. It's a good way to sort of stoke a little bit of community tension and stick into social cohesion. But what we can sort of deduce in a way is a few things about the target. Authorities have been straightforward enough in labelling it as a religiously motivated violent extremist act. The vast majority of what religiously motivated violent extremist acts that have occurred in Australia and across much of the Western world have been what we would broadly refer to as jihadist attacks. But merely stating something in Arabic is nowhere near the kind of thresholds. What the authorities will be looking at is primarily his electronics. So his phone, his search histories and those types of things, finding whether he's had exposure or consumption of propaganda produced by groups like Islamic State or Al-Qaeda or other jihadist organisations, assuming that his motivations is somewhere in the jihadist spectrum.
After the alleged attack, the police commissioner says a large crowd gathered outside the church. They became violent, using things like bricks and concrete pilings. Several police cars were damaged. Yes. Two police officers were injured. Do you think that there's any chance that the police felt overwhelmed with the response of the community last night and they have enacted these terror powers to be able to have more freedom to conduct the inquiries that they need to conduct?
I'm supremely confident that the only reason that it would have been declared a terrorist incident is because between the National Security Committee of Cabinet, the senior echelons of New South Wales Police and the senior echelons of ASIO, that they concluded that there was sufficient evidence to declare it as a terrorist incident. Those kinds of decisions that can then wind up playing out in court or in coronials or those sorts of things wind up being interrogated and making those kinds of declarations for reasons that aren't going to stand up when sunlight gets shone on them is not a particularly smart move by a senior government official.
Levi West is the Director of Terrorism Studies at Charles Sturt University. Appreciate your time this afternoon.
No worries.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.